Hello and welcome to the podcast for Chapter 27, America and the World, 1921 to 1945. Refusing to assume an important role in world affairs after the end of World War I, the United States became more and more isolationist throughout the 1920s. In the 1930s, as conflict brewed in Europe and Asia, the United States' commitment to isolationism grew deeper until 1941, when Nazism and Japanese imperialism forced a foreign policy reversal and entrance into the Second World War. At the conclusion of World War II, the United States remained highly involved in world affairs and took a leading role in maintaining world order. Retreat, reversal, and rivalry. In the 1920s, the United States followed a foreign policy that was narrow, cautious, and self-centered. Retreat in Europe. Regarding Europe, American policymakers insisted on payment of war debts without allowing access of American markets and thus the dollars necessary to pay those debts. Politically, the United States never joined the League of Nations, spurned English and French attempts to negotiate European security treaties, and largely ignored the new Bolshevik regime in Russia. Cooperation in Latin America. By contrast, in Latin America, the United States was much more active, continuing to seek economic advantages. It did so, however, with more friendly tactics, the Good Neighbor Policy, than had administrations before World War I. Dollar diplomacy slowly replaced gunboat diplomacy. Rivalry in Asia. In Asia, the United States continued on a confrontational course with Japan. Despite the American open-door policy, Japan wanted to expand into China and soon into other areas of Asia. Though the decades of the 1920s and 1930s were filled with compromises such as the Nine Power Treaties, the Kellogg-Briand Pact, these efforts only forestalled the eventual conflict. Isolationism. Because of the Great Depression and the fear of involvement in another European war, the United States followed an isolationist policies in the 1930s despite an increasing militarism of Japan and the rise of power of Adolf Hitler in Germany and Benito Mussolini in Italy. In 1937, when these three powers allied themselves as the Axis powers, thereby posing a threat not only to Europe, but to the entire world, the United States continued its isolationist policies until it was almost too late. The lure of pacifism and neutrality. Looking back at World War I as a meaningless effort, many Americans sought security in pacifism and legal neutrality. They wanted a way to ensure that the United States would not be drawn into another European conflict. Young people especially wanted to avoid war as peace movements swept across college campuses. After a Senate investigation into unsavory business policies and practices in the munitions industries, a series of neutrality laws were passed that tried to limit the ways that Americans could be drawn into a conflict. Though publicly committed to neutrality, Roosevelt tried to limit the nation's retreat into isolationism. War in Europe. Events in Europe made American neutrality increasingly unrealistic and difficult to maintain, making the neutrality acts harder to support. The road to war. From 1939 to 1941, the United States moved ever closer to war as the nation's sympathy and support went to England and France. From neutrality to undeclared war. As the war worsened in Europe, President Roosevelt pushed the country closer to participation. He clearly favored the Allied cause and convinced Congress to relax the strict neutrality acts in order to aid the British. After the successes of the German Blitzkrieg put England at risk, Roosevelt asked for a peacetime draft and began the Lend-Lease program to get war supplies to the British. Although there was some opposition to Roosevelt's actions, the American populace became more and more convinced of the need for some kind of intervention. This stance only intensified as Germany and the United States engaged in an undeclared naval war. Showdown in the Pacific. While war raged in Europe, Japan continued to expand in Asia, especially into the British and French colonies. When the United States responded with an economic sanction, Japan sent diplomats to Washington to discuss peace proposals. At the same time, they readied for a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, plunging the United States into war. Turning the tide against the Axis. In both Europe and Asia, the early days of the war were discouraging for the Americans. It took 2 years for the Allies to halt the advance of the Axis powers. They then faced the daunting task of driving them back and liberating the conquered territories. Wartime partnerships. Most importantly, the alliance of the United States and Britain was a genuine coalition with unified command and strategy. Relations with other members of the United Nations coalition was more strained. China objected to the decision to defeat Germany first, having been at war with Japan since 1937, and relations with the Soviet Union were also uneasy as they took the worst fury of the German Blitzkrieg alone, while British and the United States could do little more than promise future help. Halting the German Blitz. The United States and Britain invaded first North Africa and then Italy, while the Soviet Union stopped the Germans at Stalingrad. Checking Japan in the Pacific. In Asia, the United States Navy gained control of the Central Pacific by July of 1942. The home front. The war wrought vast changes in American society and ended the decade of depression. The need for war materials was met by American industries working at full capacity. Women and minorities moved into jobs previously closed to them as men went off to war. The nation's economic recovery led to FDR's re-election for a fourth term in 1940. The arsenal of democracy. Though American soldiers were certainly important to the Allied victory, American industry was the single most important contribution of the nations to the war effort. The rapid increase in production led to many problems, including shortage of critical materials like aluminum, steel, and copper. In 1942, the War Production Board was formed to answer such complex logistical concerns. One result of wartime economic expansion was increased incomes for both workers and farmers. A nation on the move. The war motivated millions to migrate, young men to training camps and then overseas, and defense workers to booming industrial cities. Such movement created problems in housing and family life, but also offered opportunities, especially to African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and women. Though African Americans experienced some social and economic gains, their progress was limited by continued and even inflamed racial prejudices. The internment camps of Japanese Americans into concentration camps was another sad counterpoint to the economic progress of the war years. Win the war politics. Politically, Roosevelt and the Democrats maintained power and won wartime elections. The nation's economic success, along with victories in the battlefield, contributed to their consolidation of power. despite aggressive campaigns by the Republicans. Victory. After the offenses of the Axis powers had been stopped, the war ended quickly. The Germans were thoroughly defeated and forced to surrender unconditionally. War aims and wartime diplomacy. With the end of the war came the end of the alliance between the United States and the Soviet Union. Tensions between the two nations emerged from a mutual distrust. The Soviet Union's perception of an allied delayed in opening a second front and vastly different goals concerning the rebuilding of post-war Europe. Triumph and tragedy in the Pacific. Though the war in Europe was over, the war in the Pacific continued until President Harry S. Truman ordered the dropping of two atomic bombs on Japan. World War II had a significant impact on American life. It was the first time the United States reached its full military potential. The United States emerged from the war the strongest nation in the world and fully committed to a global role. The war also brought about economic recovery and unprecedented prosperity while establishing political and demographic changes and trends. Well, once again, that is the podcast for Chapter 27. As always, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email me at dshocket@washoe.k12.nb.us. And until next time, we'll catch you later.